Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hi, I'm Paul Listick, and welcome to Behind the Curtain. Well, it is that time of year again, and by that I mean if you are a homeowner, maybe you paid your property taxes already, maybe you're getting ready to pay your taxes. Hopefully you've got an escrow aside, because I know when I get my bill, I'm ready to cry. But really the point of today's interview is to tell you how to do it. It is easier now than ever before. And I want to explore some of the other projects that go on where in the office of the Cook County Treasurer. And joining me now on our podcast is the Cook County Treasurer, Maria Pappas, a woman who has truly just kind of revolutionized that office and modernized it. And we're going to show you how in the ways that matters to you. Madam Treasurer, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm happy to be with you, Paul, because I've got some new and exciting info. We have not done a release on it, so you're getting this first. Here's the deal. Go to CookCountyTreasurer.com. While I'm doing this interview, you can go to CookCountyTreasurer.com. You can punch in your home address. And upon punching in your home address, you are now able to do a number of things. There's six boxes on that page at CookCountyTreasurer.com. You're going to find your property tax overview. It's the purple box in the middle. We just finished programming this, and this is applicable because the due date is March 1st, and the second due date will be August 1st. So let me tell you what your property tax overview will now allow you to do.
All right, and this is brand new.
Yeah, brand new. We haven't even put out a release on it. We were thinking about doing it, but we've just been so busy. So
this is it.
And we know that it's working because we get 450,000 homeowners visiting our website every month. So the first thing that you can do, put in your address at CookCountyTreasurer.com. You can submit your payment online. And now you can pay online for free. We had, at the rush by January 31st of last year, 127,000 people came in and paid $758 million.
Wow.
What we now know is that 90,000 of the 126,000 chose to direct debit their account. They did not want to deal with the mail. They didn't want to deal with Chase. They didn't want to come to my office. They didn't want to talk to anybody. We can actually show that after everybody went to sleep at night, people went and paid online. So we are trying, as the banking industry changes and as fewer and fewer tellers are in these banks, we're trying to shift people online to pay. So you can also go on that very same page, and you can check your payment status. You can go back and see the previous 2 years of whether or not you paid and how you paid.
Now, I'm assuming you need your PIN number, right?
You can, on that site, let's say you didn't get your bill and your taxes are due March 1st.
Yep.
You punch a button, downloads your bill to the printer. It is the exact same bill that you got mailed to you. But now you can also sign up for, and 37,000 people have done this, e-billing. What that will enable you to do is never get another piece of mail from me again. It's a wonderful, wonderful cost-saving mechanism with regard to postage, because people no longer want to get it in the mail.
A couple of questions for you. What if I don't speak English?
If you don't speak English, you can go to this website, and on this website, on the bottom left-hand corner, you punch a button, and that button will allow you to go to 102 languages in Cook County. There are 126 spoken languages. So let me give you an interesting stat, Paul.
Sure.
To date, 130,000 people have downloaded in Polish, 14,000 have downloaded in Romanian, 13,000 in Russian, 26,000 in Spanish, 7,000 in Thai, 8,000 in Ukrainian, 8,000 in Albanian, 19,000 in Arabic, 13,000 in Assyrian, 12,000 in Bulgarian, 28,000 in Chinese, 21,000 in in Croatian. I mean, I could go on and on through this, but people have downloaded foreign languages 405,000 times. You ask about foreign languages? We have a one-of-a-kind, state-of-the-art telephone system. The largest owners of property in Cook County are Polish. You're in Poland. Your taxes are due March 1st. You pick up the phone. You dial into me exactly the way you dial into a credit card company. Mm-hmm. You put in your 14-digit PIN number, which is the Social Security version of your tax bill number. And the voice at the other end of the phone tells you in Polish, Spanish, or English whether you owe, how much you owe, or if you've paid, and if you've gotten your exemptions. So we're just delighted that we've been able to program these things. You also, on this site, let's say your name is wrong. You look at this bill, and you say, wait a minute, my name's wrong. You punch a button, mm-hmm. and the name change form pops up. Let's say you had a real estate closing, and at the time the escrow account was set up, and you mistakenly paid your bill, and then this title company came in and paid the bill. My website on this particular purple box that I showed you will give you, on Property Tax Overview, will tell you if there are any overpayments on your property. Punch a button again, and the refund application shows up. You send it back into our office. You can scan it and mail it in, whatever your choice is. So,
wow.
So this is amazing, because what it has done is it has allowed us to accommodate people in a very different way. So here's the stat that will be of interest to your listeners. When I started here 20 years ago, there were 6 offices, Paul, 5 satellite offices. They're all closed. At that time, 386,000 people were in line, and that line used to wind around the county building, okay, and wind around the satellite offices on the due date, which was always March 1st
right.
in the spring. We now have only 26,000 people on a yearly basis that come into this office to pay. We've closed all of our satellites. Everything is being done electronically.
Let's say
you also go to this site,
yep.
and you want to email me. So Paul Lenzik says, you know what, I don't want to call there. I'm just going to email Pappas, and I want to know how to get my tax bill. We have programmed, and we only have 70 employees left, 35 of whom are programming in the IT department, that have set up an email system. If you send me an email that says tax bill, I automatically generate the tax bill answer. We've answered emails 137,000 times, never seen them, and have never had one taxpayer complain. So what's the purpose of all of this? The purpose of all of this is to become an office that is scanned and so automated that it just becomes absolutely convenient for people. We've also moved to mobile devices, iPads, smartphones. Since 2016, we've had 687,000 people get their information from CookCountyTreasure.com via their telephones. Now, you know, everybody's complaining about soda pop tax and increased taxes and yada gooda gada. There's two ways to fund government. One is through a 110 account, which is property taxes and all kinds of sin taxes, and another is through a 534 account. A 534 account is a fee that is paid directly to my office by someone. In this case, it's the mortgage companies who come in and pay online
right.
for their whoever it is that they have a mortgage for. My office, if it had 250 people as it did in 1998, my budget would be $43 million with health and insurance costs. Today, it is $12.9 million. There are roughly 80 people in here, 70 on any given day with absences and vacations and open positions. And I am funding $11.9 million of that through these mortgage companies. So I don't have to go to the county board anymore and say, give me some money. I've already got money because I figured out how to create these fees. And the mortgage companies love it because we now have the mortgage companies. You said you had a mortgage earlier. They come in. I have better records than the mortgage companies because sometimes they buy and sell mortgages.
Sure.
So they can come in online, go into my system, and they can see Paul Lisnick. They can know if it's Bank of America, that they've got a mortgage. They can come in here and check to see if they paid, if it was received, if you need to get your senior citizens exemption. And I'm going to move to something else because this is extraordinarily important. In Cook County, there are approximately 126,000 senior citizens. There's approximately 126,000 senior citizens. So we know that in Cook County, roughly 40,000 or so didn't apply for their exemptions. So what we are doing is we are reaching out to elected officials, and we now have this CookCountyDrescher.com, the overview part that I told you about. You can go to it. You can go to it right now, Paul, and you can tell whether or not for the last 3 years you got your exemption. Did you get your homeowners? Did you get your senior? Did you get your senior freeze? Did you get your veterans? What is it that you got or should have gotten? If you didn't get it on CookCountyTreasure.com, you can punch a button, and that button will allow you to download your form. So, I got a whole lot of other stuff to talk about. I don't know if we're going to get it all done today.
Well, we're probably not.
Yeah,
no, we only got a couple of minutes. So, but let me just go to something really practical, which is if people listening to this, first of all, the fact that we don't have to come downtown to your office or satellite, great. That we can still go to Chase, that's nice. But doing it online, of course, the easiest of all. But what about people who say, I'm nervous about online? What about security? Can people get my information? If I'm literally debiting an account, am I putting it out there in the universe? The Russians are there, you know.
Yeah, well, we've never had a problem. We've got more firewalls than Carter's has liver pills in here. I mean, we've never had a problem, and we've been doing this for almost, 15 years. Now it's free, so we expect a surge of a lot more people. I think it's the way it's set up. I mean, we've talked to all kinds of security systems. I mean, it works, and people, you know what, Paul? I mean, my 87-year-old grandmother is going to come down here and pay. You need to come down here on March 1st, because on March 1st, the people who come in here are not coming with a check. The people on March 1st are cash payers. It's unbelievable. I've had people walk in here on March 1st with $50,000 in cash.
Wow.
It's just...
Those are probably not the ones. They're probably not the ones concerned about security, like I am. If they're showing up,
but then they say, "Why does Pappas have cameras in the office?" I've got cameras in the office. You got somebody coming in with 50 grand in cash. You better have cameras to find out what's going on.
You know,
truly a bank. It is the 16th largest government in the world. I want to add something which is really very, very important for your audience. August 1st will be the due date, Paul. That's the next due date after March 1st.
Right.
The way this works is that I get a file that's put together by the Department of Revenue, the assessor, and the clerk's office. At the completion of them giving me that file, it comes here, and we start an extensive bill printing process. The bills then go to a mail house. They get put in envelopes. They get sent. I mean, it's a six-week ordeal. Once we get these things, to get them in the mail by July 1st. I am doing something completely new. When I receive this file, end of May or June 1st, whenever I get it, it's going online. You will have that bill. You will not need to get it in the mail. You can just go online, and the nice thing about this is you're going to be able to figure out what your budget is for if your kids are going back to college or school or whatever, right, or your fall expenses, because I will be telling you 6 weeks early what you're going to get in July, payable August 1st. So this is state of the art. we were the only county in the country who got up a prepayment bill online. We're seeing that's the trend, and we're complying with it. I'm going to ask you for the opportunity to come back at some point, because I know we got to cut this short today, but I think that on May 4th, our tax sale starts. I think that there are stats and information about that tax sale that are very, very important. Right now, we have 51,000 PINs that are going to be published in a newspaper. 26,000 are in the city, 25,000 are in the burbs. We know that of the 51,000, 8,657 pieces of mail have been returned to this office.
Well, then let me make you promise that we will come back before May 4th to talk about that.
We need to get back in April and do a whole thing on tax sale. And, you know, there are just a number of other things that are of interest, I think, to your listeners, and I'll be happy to talk about it.
And next time around,
you know what? Best thing for me to do with you is just do little 15-minute segments here and there. We'll pick a piece of what I've done. We'll talk about it, and we'll get people online
and
to pay.
And for today, we've helped people pay their bills. Cook County Treasurer Maria Pappas, as always, thank you for your time and insight. Lots of info today. Thank you.
Is this your vomit?
What? No.
But it's your trash.
Actually, this is a shared office.
Can you tie it up for me, please?
Are you talking to me?
Who else could I be talking? Yes, you. Tie up the trash.
But it isn't my mess.
I can leave it here all weekend if you like. It's been colder lately. I'm sure the heating will be coming up soon.
Are you threatening me now?
Yes, I am.
You can't do that.
I think I just did.
Just a couple of great moments from a show going on at the Victory Gardens Theater right now called Breach. Now, that's the easy, quick way to refer to it. But if you want to understand what it's all about, you probably ought to use the full title. So I'm going to say it once. A Manifesto on Race in America Through the Eyes of a Black Girl Recovering from Self-Hate. Yeah, that's a long title, but it makes the point of what this incredible show that I had the opportunity to attend open night is all about. So honored to be joined now by the playwright, the woman who put the show together, Antoinette Nwandu, and also the other actress you heard in that clip, Karen Rodriguez, who plays Carolina. Well, I'm going to start. Antoinette, what an incredible show, and it just kept me laughing and smiling and also kind of wondering about people all the way through this show. Talk to me about what led you to write this story about friendship and motherhood and family. All those lines are in it.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm so glad you got an opportunity to see the show. I think one of the motivating factors for my writing it, you know, on paper, each of the five characters can be seen as a two-dimensional stereotype, for lack of a better word. We have Margaret, the show's protagonist. And, you know, she is an angry black woman at times. We have Carolina, the part played wonderfully by Karen Rodriguez, who is a Mexican woman. She's pregnant. She's a janitor. We have A.J. Jaleel plays the character Rashid. He's black. He has a former, you know, he had been in prison before, and now he's turning his life around. And so in a lot of ways, all of the characters touch upon certain stereotypes that their demographics are battling with. And so one of the things that motivated me for writing this play, in addition to just wanting to give a black woman a complicated and full-bodied emotional story arc, another thing that motivated me was to just see if I could take these, you know, quote-unquote two-dimensional stereotypes and make them into fully fleshed out people, if we can sit with them for a full evening and care about their stories and care about their trajectory instead of just seeing the descriptor of them as stereotypes.
And Karen, we're going to talk about your role in a moment, but you have to talk about Aunt Sylvia, played by Linda Bright Clay. Also stereotypical, I think, of the elder African-American woman in a family, but I just found that role so endearing, so funny. Mm-hmm. So in your business, I just loved that role.
Yeah, you know, Linda Bright Clay does an amazing job with the words on the page. I think she brings a real wisdom and a real sensitivity and a real, obviously, just a real humanity to the role. So it's just been such a beautiful, sorry, I have some people in here, just a beautiful example of her acting ability to be able to really translate that role into somebody that we really fall in love with. But she doesn't, you know, shy away from the complication of the character, in any way, that she can still be lovable and that she can still be somebody that we want to invest in, even though we do see some of her complication as the drama unfolds.
And so while we have that romantic relationship between Margaret and Rashid, Black and Black, you also introduce Nate, played by Keith D. Gallagher. And that's where the show starts, right? We have an actually mixed relationship between Margaret and Nate. And how did that relationship, how is it meant to play for you?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think Margaret finds herself in a situation that a lot of women find themselves in, where she's, she's sort of made her bed and now she's wondering if she's going to lie in it or not. I think, in a lot of ways, it's a relationship of convenience. I think she's also a woman somewhere in her 30s where she doesn't feel like she has the time that she maybe once had to be super selective. And so we open the show with her sort of in the middle of a relationship that isn't really feeding her or isn't really speaking to every part of who she is. But it does come with a lot of conveniences and it does come with a lot of perks, including Nate's financial status. You know, he's a very wealthy person. And so I do think, especially for women who are maybe burnt out in their lives or who maybe some of the dreams that they were once pursuing haven't really come to pass, she's in a situation where she has to make some pretty tough choices and where life sort of forces her to make those choices.
And as I move on to Cotton for her role, but I will ask you one other thing. Are any of the characters we see on stage, and as you watch it unfold, as you were there opening night as well, are you any of them? Are you all of them?
No, I mean, I think first and foremost, I'm a playwright, and so this is my craft. So
right.
These are all fictional characters. But I obviously do put parts of myself into every character I write. I cannot bring a character to life without having some sort of emotional connection with who they are. And so I would say that holds as true for Nate and for Rashid, who are characters that people probably don't think of me when they see those characters. That holds as true for Margaret or for Aunt Sylvia. I mean, I can't write a character without some sort of understanding of what their emotional drive is and what it is they want to accomplish. So, for instance, with Nate, I am a very ambitious person. And so my ambition went into Nate, and then you just sort of turn it up to an 11. And so I understand who he is and why he operates the way he does in the world, because his ambition is sort of his overriding motivation. So, yeah, no, I definitely identify with all of my characters.
And I think we all have an Aunt Sylvia in our lives. I don't know. I just think I do.
I think so. I hope so. I mean, the loving, generous parts I hope we have in our lives.
Oh, absolutely. Congratulations. It's such a great show. And Karen, let me turn to you.
Thank you.
And this role that you hold. Because, Carolina, look, this is the, we have Blacks represented, Whites represented, and then you are the Latina in the show, but funny. I mean, you play this very, very funny. Talk to me about your relationship to the role.
I got invited to do an in-house reading at Victory Gardens, and I read the part at home preparing for the in-house reading, and when I read it out loud, that's when it really clicked in with what Antoinette was doing, because she's pregnant, she's a janitor, she's Mexican, and I was sort of like, what's going on here? But it really,
yeah, we're not playing stereotypes there.
I think Antoinette spoke so beautifully about it, is that on the page you see these qualities in all the characters, and I think this is how we really operate in the real world. I'm always so curious as to my entry. I come in, I'm singing, and I'm super pregnant, and I'm obviously here to clean the office. I always get so interested to what audiences perceive of me without me even really speaking a word to them. And so my relationship with the character, I'm really proud of it. I'm so honored to play her. I think that she really reverberates within me as like who I am as a Mexican woman, because I'm also a Mexican national. I moved to this country when I was 11. And I think her strength and humor, I mean, for me, humor, that is really how I get through difficult times. I try anyway, and I really... I think Carolina is lovely in that way, that she really disarms you with her humor and sort of ground you.
Well, I agree. And here's the thing. When you first show up, so here's my take. It looks like it's going to be fairly stereotypical, just right. The cleaning lady, Latina, yeah. With, oh, here we go. We've seen that before in the movies. Yeah. And yet, your interaction with her when we see that that Margaret has gotten sick and whatever, and you take over. And that's the clip we heard. Like, you know, go clean it up. So we're not dealing. This is nobody subservient. This is somebody who is truly in control of her life.
Yeah, and I think that there are moments where, like, you see that she is not. I mean, like, you know, she has a relationship with Luis Miguel, who is her partner. I mean, there's also complicated things about that, but I think that her self-awareness is the key ingredient to, that's the difference between her and Margaret. I think that it's not that Carolina has everything figured out, but that she does have a grasp on her self-awareness a little bit more than Margaret at the top of the show. And I love that moment. I love that scene because she's the first one who really says, hey, Margaret, like, you know, you have to clean up your own mess. And I'm not going to do it for you.
And as the show goes on, we see that a friendship develops between Carolina and Margaret because there's scenes where you're at the house. There's Aunt Sylvia. So it becomes clear. We don't see every step of the way, but we clearly there has been introductions and parties and you're in touch with Aunt Sylvia separately. Do you as an actress, do you kind of outside the show sort of say, okay, so how did we get from I see her in the office to clearly a friendship and relationship has developed with the family? Do you as an actress walk through to go, how did I get from A to B?
Oh, yeah. We, the three of us in particular, like we definitely come up with backstory. But really, like, we were also really lucky because Karen and Linda and I, we just really hit it off. And in a lot of ways, in our faith, in the way that we, in our POV of the world, like, there were a lot of really in-depth conversations. You know, you get very close in these kinds of processes, very, like, fast and quick. And so a lot of our backstory was really based on ourselves and the way that we get along. And we're very different women, and yet our core is essentially the same. I mean, we try to be as kind and generous as possible, and I think we all shared in that. And I think I hope anyway that it shows in that scene with the three of us.
I get a sense.
Yeah,
that,
we definitely.
I'm sorry.
Go for it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I get a sense. Carolina is a very strong woman. Margaret learns to be strong, and it seems that she learns it from Carolina. Fair enough, or do they learn from each other? What do you think?
I think they learn from each other. I mean, I you know, I think that when I see Margaret struggle, I think that I take some of that home and I try to, again, like, there's like little tidbits about Carolina's home life. And, you know, she's also pregnant. She's having some trouble with her partner. I do think that in help, you know, it's like in real life, when you help a friend out, you're still taking, like, lessons from just watching them interact with their world. And Margaret is fighting her world. And I think Carolina, I think she's a wise person beyond her age. But I think she's also observing of, like, this doesn't work. You know, there are lessons in the way that Margaret deals with her world that Carolina is definitely like, you know, that doesn't work. And so if I ever feel like that, like, I have to fight that feeling of, like, just trying to fight my world because you know, I have to look at my family. I think that's really the lesson that I take from Margaret. Yeah. That's what Alina does anyway. That's,
you know, while
family, number one.
While I have you, I have to give you kudos for your performance in the Rembrandt at Steppenwolf.
Thank you.
I thought you were one
from parts.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I was supposed to do an interview there with Fran Guine and John Mahoney, and John got ill. Although I didn't know that at the time, but I did interview Fran and I love everything that goes on at Steppenwolf too. But I just have your portrayal in the Rembrandt, I thought was absolutely wonderful. And I'm just curious, since we've lost John, any memory, anything you want to share to just tell us what I know is the fact that he was an incredible guy.
You know, I got to know him for 3 months. I took the news of his passing really hard, and I was not surprised, and yet I was completely surprised because, again, it's a very short time, and I kept thinking, you know, like, I mean, what about the people that knew him his whole life, you know, for an entire lifetime? But I think it's a testament to who he was, the person. I mean, it, like, just like with Linda and Karen, the kindness and generosity were at the forefront of his whole self, and he showed that every day. I mean, I'll share a little tidbit with you. The first week of rehearsal, you know, you're acting with these mammoths, and you're the only woman in the cast, you know, and I was kind of keeping to myself, and we were on break, and we went to the snack table, and she got a banana, and you know, he's John Mahoney, so I'm just like, oh my gosh, you know, and he looks at me, and he says, I love watching you.
Wow.
I love watching you work. And then he just left. I mean, I'm like low key, like getting emotional, just like thinking about it, because it was just something. That's how he was. Like, and it was, and like he just left right after that. Like, he just, it was not to, oh, thank you. No, it was just, here it is. I see you. You are welcome here. And you know, we had so many conversations. I mean, he was just something else. And yes, his craft, he was a master, but just as a person. And I can only hope to emulate some of that generosity that he gave to us. He was such a gift.
That's very kind of you to say, and I'm sorry I took you off guard by asking you about that, but I did at least want to put a tribute out, which you did, and I thought just that, you know, you have this persona that you bring in the few roles that I've seen you play now, and there's this underlying humorous ability. It's not funny in a laugh at you way. It's funny in a strong way. It's funny in a way where we're with you, and I know that's clearly got to be part of who you are and part of your character, and I just can't wait to see the shows you do next, and I just want to congratulate you for being such a powerful actress. I just think you are.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Karen Rodriguez, who plays Carolina in this incredible show written by Antoinette Nwandu. It's over at Victory Gardens, and it is playing through March 11th. Don't know if it'll be an extension or not. Sometimes it's tough. Maybe you get a few days out of it, but I wouldn't wait. So you can get tickets by going to victorygardenstheater.org. Sorry, that's wrong. Victorygardens.org. Victorygardens.org. Or get tickets at victorygardens.org. Don't miss it. I loved it. As soon as I saw it, I said, I got to talk to these folks. And I'm so glad I did. Karen, congratulations on several great performances in your career, this just being the most current one, Breach over at Victory Gardens. And thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
All right. My thanks to Antoinette as well. Thank you, guys. Have a great rest of the run. Well, if you want to know more about what we've talked about here, follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Paul Lisnek. That's PaulLisnek. And I'd love to hear your comments or topic suggestions for future podcasts. You can also go to my website, paullisnek.tv. And hey, don't forget to hit subscribe on WGN Plus and iTunes. And tune in each week to hear more insider scoop coming to you from behind the curtain.